Blog Talk Radio.
Internet world, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and welcome to the Thursday edition of my program. So glad that you've taken out some time from your busy schedule to join me here. This is going to be a very short program. Last time I got together with you was a couple of days ago, and I had some problems with the audio. And today I wanted to focus in on the Bible teaching portion of my program, because while it is so important speaking up for human rights and talking about the very, very important issues of the day, there is nothing more vital to our existence and more precious to me than the teaching and the application of God's Word. And so today I want to focus in on the teaching I've been going through on the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, the powerful, life-changing words of Christ that are so vital for our spiritual growth. And so today I want to continue that. We have been doing an in-depth Bible teaching on what is known as the Beatitudes from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And so far, we have looked at the way that Jesus wants you and me to live as kingdom citizens. This is the story of the king. Matthew's gospel presents Jesus as the promised Messiah, as the king. And in Matthew chapter 5, we see the king inviting us to live a certain way. These are the commands, if you will, the kingdom way for you and me to live. So as citizens of his kingdom, these words are absolutely vital to our existence, especially in the world that we find ourselves living in today. When you read through the Beatitudes, living these teachings out and living these principles out will distinguish us will distinguish true from false Christians. And certainly, these principles, these teachings of Christ, will put us right on the front lines of persecution. Because everything that Jesus is telling us here in Matthew chapter 5 goes against the grain, if you will, of the way of the world. The philosophy and the lifestyle of the world is antithetical, if you will, against what Jesus is teaching here. And so I invite you today to join me as we go through number 4 beatitude today. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We're going to take a look now at the entire chapter 5 of the Sermon on the Mount and look at exactly what Jesus is telling us. And we'll do a little bit of recap over what we've taught. Matthew chapter 5 from the New American Standard Bible Translation, verse 1. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." We have been looking in depth at these be happy attitudes, if you will, these principles for kingdom living. We began with blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And essentially, what that means, being poor in spirit, is blessed, happy are those, to be envied are those, that recognize their spiritual bankruptcy. We come to God in our tattered robes and rags of righteousness that is false. We come in great need of his righteousness, in great need of his forgiveness and grace. And so blessed are those that recognize their true spiritual condition. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We also learn, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. This is not talking about the mourning over the evils and the misfortunes of life so much, as it is those that mourn over their spiritual condition for healing. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit and mourn over their spiritual poverty. They shall be comforted. The idea of the word mourning is the idea of repentance. We look at our sinfulness and we mourn over it. And it's like the psalmist who said in Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me." That psalm was written by David the king, who became David the murderer, David the adulterer. And so he mourned over his disobedience and sin. And then we learned last time, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Who are the meek? The meek is not a doorstep that people can just walk over and do as they please. We learned that the meek is the teachable, humble kingdom citizen. And Jesus promises for that person who waits patiently on God and leaves the injustices at God's doorstep to bring revenge. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Today, I want us to look at this beatitude: blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. I want us to take a look at the three Greek words that Jesus is talking about here: for hunger, for thirst, and for satisfied or filled. The first key Greek word that Jesus used is paneo. It is translated as hunger in this passage. It has the sense of a strong desire for food. It is the same word that was used to describe Jesus' hunger after he had been in the wilderness for 40 days and nights without food. After 40 days of fasting, Jesus would have certainly been very hungry. This Greek word describes a strong hunger for food, paneo. Now, the next Greek word that Jesus uses is dipseo, for thirst. It describes a strong desire, but this time for water. It is used in John 19:28 to describe Jesus' thirst after he had been whipped and beaten for hours by the Roman soldiers and then had been left hanging on the cross for hours. Near the end, Jesus cried out for something to drink and said, "I thirst." This is the word Jesus uses right here in this beatitude, dipseo. Now, the last important word for satisfied or filled is kortazo. The word was used to refer to fattened cattle. That is, it means having all that you want. Animal or person is completely satisfied. What we learn about these three words, paneo, dipseo, and kortazo, is they are translated in the present tense. This means that Jesus is describing someone who continually hungers and continually thirsts. And we could rewrite this beatitude like this: blessed are those who are constantly, continually hungering and thirsting after righteousness, for they shall be completely and totally satisfied. What is your spiritual appetite for? Well, my physical appetite is for spaghetti. I love good pasta with lots of rich, beautiful tasting meat sauce. Every birthday, Becky cooks a pot of spaghetti with her specific type of meat sauce, and I hunger for that. I have an appetite for that. In the same way, Jesus is saying that appetite and that craving that you have for your favorite food, translate that passion to hungering and thirsting after my righteousness. I want to describe to you the kind of people in the world that somehow turn to God under extraordinary circumstances. In a time of crisis, it's common for men and women to make deals with God. It goes something like this: if you are there, God, please help me. If you do, I will commit myself to you the rest of my life. I will go to church and read your Bible. And there's an old saying also that every soldier in a foxhole during a time of war is not an atheist. He ends up believing in God. So at a time of crisis, men and women reach out to God. They may be on a raft in the middle of the ocean, in an aircraft that is falling into the water, or maybe a mother who has discovered that her child has been hit by a car. They reach out for God to save them, to rescue them, but not because they want their sins forgiven or their desire to be right with God or to go to heaven, if you will. They reach out to save their lives, to someone they dearly love. They are hungering and thirsting for their life, for the safety of their life. So at a moment of crisis, really, satisfaction means being rescued. At that moment of crisis, they catch a glimpse of what this life is really all about. And they see, those in a crisis see, that their lives are empty. And really, God is all there is. Do you know, Solomon was one of the richest men in all the world, but his prayer was to God to give him wisdom. And God said to him, "Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you before you, nor shall one like you arise after you. I have given you what you have not asked, both riches and honors, so that there will be not any among the kings like you all your days." And so Solomon says he became great and increased more than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. My wisdom also stood by me. God gave Solomon great wealth and wisdom, and yet Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes to tell us, you and me, what he really discovered about the reality of life. Now, if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, there is a mechanism of what Solomon is using to get his point across. Solomon is writing as if he is trying to live life without God, as a person looking at the way life is empty without God. And so he writes in this certain way, and you'll understand when I quote this. Solomon begins the book of Ecclesiastes, "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher, "vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Now, the Hebrew word here for vanity is the idea of emptiness. Therefore, this verse could be rewritten as, "Empty of empties, all is empty." That is, life is like a soap bubble without God. Eventually, it goes pop, and there's nothing. Life is a big, fat zero. Life is empty. So the book of Ecclesiastes describes life of the man on his planet without God. But those who know God have something better for which to look. But it's not found in this world. So Solomon is writing this important book with that in mind. He says, we're born into this world and then we die. A generation is born and then it dies. And the cycle is repeated and repeated, but the world always remains the same. We come and we go, but not the earth. Also, the sun rises and the sun sets, and hastening to its place, it rises there again, Ecclesiastes 1:5. He says, the sun rises and sets, and the next day it repeats all over again. But we do not. We are different. We are born and then we die. We come and we go. That is all there is. We are no more, but not the earth or the sun. They remain, but we don't. And Solomon is writing this important book to get our attention. Here's what he's saying. We rarely stop to think about the fact that life is so repetitive. We are constantly seeking, pursuing, and never being satisfied. And then we die, and there is nothing. We rarely stop long enough to realize we are also never satisfied in this life. We look at a sunset, then we want to do it again. The same is true with movies, books, trees, and flowers. We always want to see something. We are never satisfied with just what we're seeing. We always want something new. The same is true in what we hear. We always want to hear something new or listen to something over and over again. The ear is never satisfied with what is heard yesterday, or the eye with the sunset that we saw last week. We always want to see or hear it again, or hear or see something new. So we are never satisfied in this life. It's so repetitive. Life is empty. That is Solomon's message in Ecclesiastes. And we are chasing after satisfaction, but never being filled. And that is the conclusion that Solomon is coming to. Spiritual satisfaction is what Jesus is talking about here. We come to God because we want to live righteously. We want our sin, our shame, and our guilt forgiven. And as we come to Christ with those attitudes in mind, we begin to hunger and thirst after His righteousness in our life. We're not interested in popularity. We're not interested in the latest lifestyle, the latest fad. We're not chasing vain and empty things. We're pursuing the kingdom of God with all of our heart. We're pursuing the righteousness of God with all of our heart. And Jesus is saying, if you're truly a kingdom citizen, you will continually hunger and thirst after my righteousness. You will continually have an appetite for my will in your life, for my glory in your life, for me. There is a hunger for me that is only satisfied in me. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger again, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Kingdom seekers want only Christ and what God in his wisdom and love sovereignly provides through Christ. This is what this beatitude is talking about. We hunger and thirst to know him and to be more like him in righteous ways. We're not asking for economic success necessarily. We're not asking for personal self-esteem and popularity. We are asking that Christ be glorified every day in our life, that our hunger and thirst is for his glory, is for his will. And yet, if we're honest, we don't always seek those things. Our hearts are tainted by sin, and we're always seeking something other than that. And so it's my prayer as we go through these Beatitudes that we begin to see the big picture of what Jesus is painting for us, to live in such a way that we add flavor to our culture, that we are spiritually attracted, that we are spiritually attractive to those that are seeking to know God, that our life radiates the glory and the light of Christ in such a way that those who are hurting and broken see Christ in us and want to have a hunger and a thirst like we have. That spiritual attractiveness that comes with knowing him, it comes with living out these Beatitudes. I want you to hear this song right now from Catherine Scott to help you with your hunger and your thirst. Let's listen.
You.
just a beautiful, perfect song that illustrates what I've been teaching you this morning from the Beatitudes. Next time we get together, we're going to talk about Blessed Are the Merciful, the next Beatitude. It has been a pleasure to be with you today on the cross in the desert. I hope your appetite for hunger and thirst will be satisfied when you know Jesus. That's what this teaching is all about today. Thank you so much, dear Patricia, for joining us today on the Cross in the Desert. I will see you again on Monday with my special guest, Annie Cyrus. We're going to talk about American Truth Project, so be there on the Cross in the Desert on next Monday. Have a blessed weekend.
Great of wrath, our sword, he hath loosed the faith.